Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Tuesday, April 25th. 2023, 6 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. We welcome you into hour number three. Been a busy morning so far, Mr. Zommers.
It sure has. A lot going on.
Including a sneeze.
There we go.
These darn allergies. It's that time of year. And I don't suffer as bad as some people. I mean, I try to do the Claritin and all kinds of stuff like that, but it is the pollination season, as they say.
Yeah, in spring and fall, I get hit by both of those usually for allergies, yeah. And it just depends where. I think in the city, I'll probably be more or less okay.
Yeah, it just kind of, it all depends on, how much it rains. And I've often found, they say this, I've tried this a few times, it does help. Like when you go home at night, shower before you go to bed. You don't think you have pollen on you, but if you shower before you go to bed, sometimes it really helps.
It's a big deal. Or like, I'm allergic to cats, and sometimes I'll go over to a friend's house in the evening, mm-hmm. and they have a cat, and I feel fine in the evening, but if I don't shower before I go to bed, I will not feel so fine in the morning.
I have a cat allergy as well.
Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. Very unfortunate indeed. It is 7 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Let's take a look at the weather forecast this morning from WRCE Land. News from the center in Richland Center for today. Partly sunny, a high of 51 degrees. For tonight, decreasing clouds, a low of 27. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny and a high of 55 degrees. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, mostly sunny. A slight chance for showers in the afternoon, a high of 47 today. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 26. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, increasing clouds and a high of 52 degrees. Over in the northwest part of the state, Amory, Wisconsin, WLAK, Lake Air Radio. It is sunny skies today in LAK land, a high of 49 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear, a low of 27. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies and a high of 53 degrees. So not bad at all, as Kara Foster was saying from Weatherology. Get out today and tomorrow and enjoy some sunshine and pleasant weather, because for the rest of the week, I'm looking here at the rest of the state forecast, starting Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, rain the entire time. So it's going to feel like Seattle or somewhere in the Northwest for the rest of the week. So today and tomorrow are your two best days to get outside and enjoy some vitamin D, some sunshine, and just feel better. 9 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock, here's a couple of news headlines, what you need to know on this April 25th. President Joe Biden announced his reelection bid in a video released earlier today. Biden framed next year's contest as a fight against Republican extremism, implicitly arguing he needs more time to fully realize his vow to restore the nation's character. Disney is laying off several thousand workers across the company this week in the second and largest wave of cuts as part of the media giant's previously announced plan to slash its workforce by 7,000 employees. The latest round of job cuts will impact employees from coast to coast at ESPN, Disney's entertainment division, Disney Parks, and its experiences and product division. Anheuser-Busch has placed two executives on leave after a Bud Light sponsorship with a transgender woman sparked backlash from conservative media, according to the Wall Street Journal and other media reports. The beer maker sponsored two Instagram posts by transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney and sent her a can of beer with her face on it. A few days after the post was published, musician Kid Rock posted an Instagram video of himself shooting cases of Bud Light with an AR-15. Or something along those lines, and conservatives called for a boycott of the company. Although the campaign received support from the trans activists, some of the online backlash recently turned into physical danger when one of Anheuser-Busch's facilities received a bomb threat. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis plans to announce this summer whether she'll bring charges against former President Trump or his allies for their attempts to overturn Georgia's 2020 presidential election results. Investigators have at least three recordings of Trump pressuring Georgia officials to push for a legislative session to overturn President Joe Biden's victory in 2020 in Georgia. As we've been reporting, Fox News and Tucker Carlson parted ways yesterday. Carlson out, fired. He was their top leading host on the network. Separately, Don Lemon, also fired at CNN. He is the co-host of CNN This Morning, or was, until yesterday, with Poppy Harlow and Caitlin Collins. And four-time NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers headed to New York City. Rodgers, 39, has spent his entire 18-season NFL career with the Green Bay Packers. He is now preparing for a new journey.
New York City!
That's right. New York City. Get him some salsa. Go into the Big Apple. Going to sit in on some New York City ayahuasca ceremonies or something. I don't know. He's gonna sit there and talk about, you know, non-vaxxing with Robert Kennedy Jr. What a guy. The Rodgers. All good things must come to an end. Moving on to the Jordan Love era. Love is exciting and new. 10:12 is the time. Back with more after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Shines daily on the mountain top. I took a trip on a sailing ship, and when I reached Jamaica, I made a stop. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town.
The incomparable Harry Belafonte, passing away today at the age of 96 due to congenitive heart failure, according to his publicist and New York Times reporting. Harry Belafonte dead at 96, but still, what a legacy. Love that song. Reminds me of, I've often wondered whether Howard Menken and, or how is it, geez, now I can't say the names. The two guys that wrote a lot of the Disney stuff, Ashman and, anyway, when they wrote The Little Mermaid. A lot of music from Little Mermaid has that kind of Harry Belafonte sound.
Yeah, now that you mention it, it kind of does.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought that. Anyway, Harry Belafonte passing away, as we said, at 96, but what a legacy he leaves. Another great song there by Mr. Aaron Zomers. We're about 15 minutes away from another great guy named Luke Mathers, joining us at the bottom of the hour, co-host of Dueling Tangents on the Civic Media Radio Network. Going to have to ask him about Aaron Rodgers. Before we get to that, though, well, actually, a quick note on the news. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp apparently has announced that he will not attend the Georgia Republican Convention this summer, choosing instead to rally supporters in his new organization. That's interesting and pretty big news. Sitting Republican governor saying he's not going to his own Republican convention. Kind of in the line of Paul Ryan here in Wisconsin saying he will not go to the national Republican convention next year in Milwaukee if Trump is the nominee. Apparently Brian Kemp not so happy with his party. Maybe an indication that he himself is getting ready to run for president. Trying to distance himself from the MAGA folks and trying to stake out this methodical middle ground in their current Republican Party. I do think there are some, you know, people that are still in the Republican Party that want kind of the older style, more traditional Republican Party to exist. The question is that electable on a national scale? Is it electable on a statewide scale? That's the big question. Right? We have Brian, our Georgia Governor Brian Kemp announcing he will not attend the Republican Georgia convention this summer, choosing instead to rally supporters in his own new organization. We shall find out what that's all about. Now on, if I can get things to work here, technology is wonderful, of course. On to the Aaron Rodgers story. We're going to talk more about this with Luke at the bottom of the hour here. But Mr. Perry checking in and saying, Jeff is saying, I'm not sure if he has this right or not. You know, he's a good reporter. But according to reports, he says, I understand that with Rodgers' arrival in New York City, stock values have skyrocketed for New York firms that sell horse tranquilizers. So I'm not even sure what that means, but I that's good news. That's good news for the companies that sell horse tranquilizers, I guess, in New York City. So we shall see. Big anti-vaxxer, Mr. Rodgers. So here's the fascinating thing to me. Because we've seen video from Aaron Rodgers wearing a stocking cap, riding around in the back of a pickup around Green Bay, holding like a can of, a case, I think it was, I can't remember whether it was Bud Light or Bush Light or whatever. Had a case of beer on his lap in the back of a pickup truck running around Green Bay. Just being a goofball. Which, in that part, I kind of think is funny. But, you know, will Aaron Rodgers kind of still be this kind of new version of Aaron Rodgers, very, like, holistic, anti-vax, you know, whatever kind of type of, you know, chill dude? Is he going to play that role in New York, or is he going to try to be a big city boy, like Joe Namath type of character? I don't know. Going to be very interesting to see. Will Allstate Insurance still keep him as a spokesperson? Will he still do the belt thing? You know, discount double check. Is that still going to be a thing with Aaron Rodgers? Or maybe you just don't care. Give us a call. 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. What are your feelings on Aaron Rodgers taking off to New York City? And maybe more importantly, what are your feelings on Jordan Love now actually being the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers? Can you imagine how Jordan Love feels today? Right?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I wonder if he's relieved or I'm sure he's relieved and nervous and all of the above.
I bet you he's just like, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Right? And sure, of course, there might be some pressure to, you know, now live up to the expectations. But I got to believe, I think it was the same way when, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Favre left. And I think that Rodgers is just like, thank God to get his personality out of here. I'm sick and tired of Favre's ego, you know, over top of me.
And look where you ended up, right? Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
That's the irony of this whole thing, Mr. Zomers. That's the irony, is that history absolutely repeated itself. Almost to the T. Same team, same ego. I mean, we'll see if, you know, Aaron Rodgers texts salacious pictures to the traitor at New York.
There's one video I saw. So Barstool Sports,
yes,
or something like
Barstool
that.
Barstool Sports, yes.
They have Sunday conversations with Caleb Presley, and it's Sunday as in the ice cream, S-U-N-D-A-E.
Yes.
And he just, do you know the show, I can't even think of his name. That's not very helpful. Anyway, he asks super just wild questions out of left field, does and says the most random, absurd things. Mm. And he has an interview with Aaron Rodgers. It's about 6 minutes. It's, if I recall, it's not radio friendly.
Okay.
But and that's because Aaron just gets so mad so fast and then starts firing it back at him. And like everyone else who goes on that show just like plays it cool and goes along with it. But Aaron Rodgers is just like, what? Why are you doing this? Why are you wasting my time? What's wrong with you? And just like starts getting red.
Well, we'll see. It'd be very interesting to see how this all plays out. But I got to think that Jordan Love is a happy camper this morning. It's his team now. Lost a lot of guys. But the Packers are going to get some pretty good compensation too. Looking at the deal, looking at what people are saying in sports, a lot of folks feel that the Packers got the better part of the deal. So we shall see about that. 715-388-7155, the number to call. Again, 715-388-7155. If you would like to chime in about Mr. Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Jordan Love, the Packers, or politics.
I did remember, by the way, it's reminds me of a less extreme Eric Andre show.
Oh, all right.
Where Eric Andre is just, it's something else. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I've not. I don't know.
It's
over the top.
Extremely over the top. And this is that same type of humor in interview style, but without, like, you know, public nudity. Eric Andre
always,
show has.
Always good to have a less public nudity. Well, in some cases, at least. Quick note here before we go to Mr. Mathers. At this point, he's saying, really? Do I have to come on the show today? here's a little info for you. Confidence in America's future. The Pew Research Center did a survey asking Americans to think about the United States of America in 2050. Two-thirds of us think the economy will be weaker. 3 out of 4 think the country will be more politically divided 27 years from now. That's not encouraging. Among Republicans, half of them have confidence in the future of America, and that is consistent regardless of age. So half Republicans have confidence in the future of America looking at 2050. But among Democrats, confidence in the future of America varies by age. This is interesting. For young Democrats age 18 to 34, just 53% have confidence in America's future. 53%, just over half of people age 18 to 34. While Democrats over the age of 65 are an optimistic bunch, with 4 out of 5 of them having confidence our nation will be okay a generation from now. I think that's interesting if you break it down like that. I would say maybe it's because that people 65 or over have lived through a lot.
Yeah, they've seen a lot of back and forth, and maybe they've seen things like protests over the Vietnam War or something mm-hmm. that were pretty, yeah, like that was a very bad thing that happened.
They lived through civil rights, the 50s. They probably had parents that fought in World War II or the Korean War. Many of them probably have parents that lived through the Depression. So they understand that America could bounce back, that America has resiliency. While people 18 to 34, think about that, 34 years ago. When you say 34 years ago, you think, well, that's been forever, right? And then you're like, oh, actually, 34 years ago, I was already out of high school and in college, or at least close to it. That's a little scary to think that, you know, so the last 34 years, the last 18 years, for a lot of people, have not been such a great time. And probably leads to a more pessimistic view of how things are going to be and how they're going to shape up 27 years from now.
Yeah, one thing that is very interesting, because of the Iraq War, Afghanistan, all these things, my generation did not experience a time where we were not at war until a couple of years ago.
Right. That's a great point, Mr. Sommers. That's a really great point. And yeah, I mean, 34 years ago was 1989. I was a freshman at UW-Richland. Your first year in college, 1989. And so I think, you know, people who were born that year, you know, lived 34 years. And to your point, you being in your early 20s, to say that only till recently you remember us not being at war. That has an effect probably, right, on your optimism. If somebody asked you, Mr. Sommers, in your early 20s, do you think our nation will be better or worse 27 years from now in 2050?
That's a really tough question. I'm extremely mixed on that because as recently as like a year ago, I would have said absolutely not, going down the toilet, already well on our way down. And now I'm thinking, you know, there's still some hope, people are starting to turn around, and I guess we'll just see. I don't know what to think anymore about the future.
That's fair, especially for your generation. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic because of your generation. I see the optimism. I see the way that things can go. I'm optimistic about the future. I'm optimistic about Luke Mathers joining us next segment. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Turning around, I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town.
You can have him, he's too fat for me. He's too fat for me. He's too fat for me. I don't want him, you can have him. Please too fat for me.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It's now 10:33 in the Civic Media Network. Mr. Thomas, I'm confused. What's the message here with this one?
The message here is earlier when I was talking about Aaron Rodgers and I said, we don't want him, you started singing this song.
Oh, did that really?
Yes.
I forget what thank God I'm not running for president. I'm talking about mental competency here. Well, welcome back to the Luke Mathers Show. I mean, Todd Allball Show. Our guest this hour, our segment, is the incomparable, the one and only, our program operations director and co-host of Dueling Tangents, Mr. Luke Mathers.
How we doing, Todd? I got a ever-changing title, so don't worry
about
it. I know. We're all good. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm well. I mean, it's a newsy day.
It feels like a week's worth of news has been jam-packed in the last 24, 36 hours. That's for sure. Yeah.
You're going to have so many tangents to go down today.
Always.
Always, but in particular, it'll be a tangent-filled dueling tangents.
It'll be a content-filled dueling tangents. That's for sure. It's not just meandering tangents on this or that. It's grateful because yesterday, before all the news broke, I was kind of gonna just talk about the idea, plan for a plan that the Republicans are floating. Yeah. They kind of, J.R. Ross over at WisPolitics reported last Friday night, pretty late into the evening, that there is a floating, kind of ever morphing, changing Republican proposal for what they're going to do in their budget. And I was like, this is the best I've got. And then all of a sudden we get all this other news, and it was a fun edition of Dueling Tangents yesterday. And
I listened to it a little bit.
I got a lot to talk about with the Bucks loss last night.
Right?
Too.
Well, I mean, you had Brian on, the big guy was on live. You had Will on. It was a packed, jam-packed Dueling Tangents yesterday. Did a great job.
Thank you.
So, yes, let's start there, actually, because nobody, I said this earlier, no one in this office, in this corporation, is a bigger Bucks fan than you, I don't believe. And
that's probably accurate.
I think that's accurate. Yeah. I'm not going to lie about things. So the Bucks had a tough night last night. Giannis was back, not really at full strength. They blew a 14-point lead in the 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. Now on the verge of elimination.
Yeah, as a Bucks fan, the NBA playoffs are a different model of playoffs, very similar to hockey, and I guess to an extent baseball as well. But the series nature of playoff rounds usually leads that I'm not that anxious because I'm not anxious because I have a lot of confidence in the Bucks. Last night I got really mad and now I'm a little anxious because tomorrow night, Wednesday night, they're going to host the Heat at the Pfizer Forum, and they got to win a home game, a playoff game on the road, and then another home game.
Right.
And they've got to win all three if they want to stay alive. And I think this team's really good. And the fact that with 2.5 minutes left, they had a 12-point lead and they just let it evaporate, really frustrating. Yeah. Really, really frustrating. And so there's always clamorings that Bud can't adjust. Mike Budenholzer, head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, can't adjust in game. Mm-hmm. And in many different playoff series, it's been on display. He silenced a lot of his critics when he did adjust down 2-0 against the Suns in 2021 in the NBA Finals. But since then, it's been a hard time adjusting. They had a hard time adjusting to the Celtics last year in the playoffs, and it didn't look like we had any answer for Jimmy Butler last night because the guy scored 56 points.
I mean, it was just nuts.
Yeah. And the insane part was, I mean, Chris Middleton was just having a hard time defending him. Mm-hmm. And Drew was defending him for the first half, essentially. It didn't look great. He got slowed down towards the end of the second quarter, and then they made the change, and they put Chris on him instead of Drew. And they traded for Jay Crowder. Like, Jay Crowder was supposed to be the player to come in and disrupt, very similar to how P.J. Tucker was doing it for the Bucks in 2021. And the fact that Jay Crowder wasn't coming in and disrupting his former Marquette teammate, Jimmy Butler, it was upsetting to watch. But also, Brook Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo are the largest men on that court. You could see it every single time that Brook was... And I get it. If Giannis's tailbone is still bruised, right, don't put him in a post-up situation. But Brook Lopez was having his way down at the post. Why not just continue to do that over and over and over again? Because they saw what worked. Jimmy Butler was working, and they just kept feeding Jimmy Butler. I don't understand why Bud wasn't like, okay, put Brook in the post, give him the basketball, let him go to work every single time. Brook Lopez could have had 40 points almost if they just took that model, and they would have ran away and sealed that 12-point lead that they had with about 3 minutes left in the game. Sorry, I'm very little. This is the first that I get to express
I love it. Luke Mathers will be on the bench in Milwaukee. Later for
the... Oh, if only. If I could be, right? I would be voiceless for the rest of the week. You saw me cheering at a Brewers game. I get very animated when it comes to the sports teams that I love, and the fact that this Bucks team has been so good all year and just aren't showing up, and the injury with Giannis taking him to the sideline for a majority of this series so far, just frustrating. But the silver lining is I never have to worry about Aaron Rodgers ever again. So yesterday was a really double-handed day, and it's just like, bring on Jordan Love.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. You're truly excited about Jordan Love. You think he's the guy?
I'm not. I don't know if he's the guy, but I'm just ready to be done with Rodgers. Right, that's
fair.
For sure.
That's fair. Do,
what do you think? You think that? Rodgers season?
I'm just for all the outside noise. I was done with Rodgers from the whole vaccination thing and making it an issue to.
Not even the biggest problem that I had with Rodgers. I think his vanity last year, it was what affected the team so poorly, because the guy had a broken thumb. And right. We as the fan base, right, we're the owners. Right. We're the fans. We're the owners of the team. They're owned by the people. And we find out 6 weeks after the fact that he broke his thumb and he didn't sit down and let it recover fully, that he had to hobble through that six-game losing streak. That's why I'm upset with Aaron Rodgers. Fine, if you're going to lie about your vaccination status, that's a terrible thing, and you're not a public health official, and you should never be looked up to for public health advice. But but your vanity, knowing that Jordan Love may be there to outshine you, is really what prevented Rodgers from just saying, for the good of the team, I'm going to sit on the sideline for the 6 weeks. I'm going to let my thumb heal, and then we'll go try and win a Super Bowl, because that should be the goal every single time when you're on the Packers and you're Aaron freaking Rodgers.
To paraphrase our colleague Matt Flynn, Aaron Rodgers is woke because he knows history. He knows what happened when there was an injury to a quarterback years ago and a young Brett Favre came in to replace him and Don Majkowski was never seen from again. I'm not saying that was what was going to happen, but I think the
whole reason we drafted Jordan Love was to be an insurance policy over these 3 years for Aaron Rodgers. And fine, if it parted ways, like it went down the road we went down and Rodgers was going to ultimately leave the team and Love could have a chance to be the starter in the future, great. But the main point was that we had a competent fill-in for when Rodgers was not 100%, and he was not 100% last year. When you're playing with a broken thumb on your throwing arm and you're hiding that, and that's not disclosed to the team and that's not disclosed to the public, that's what's so frustrating to me about how last year went down. I could at least put to the side. Like I've had to listen to all these anti-vaxxers. There's family members that are like, oh, I don't know if I should get the next booster. I've been hearing lots of problems. And so that is a different side conversation when it comes to what Rodgers was doing in between the lines on the field. That's what was so frustrating for me, was the aspect that he hid essentially an injury and was playing at less than 100%.
For me, what you just said, that all goes a part of it. Just it's all the off-field stuff. Yeah. You combine it all.
Yeah.
It's just is why I'm done. I'm just not convinced. I don't think that lightning strikes three times. I don't think you get a Hall of Fame quarterback in Favre, a Hall of Fame quarterback in Rodgers, and a Hall of Fame quarterback in Love right in a row.
Don't you know that God's a Green Bay Packers fan?
Well, that's what I hear.
What the hell are you talking about? Come on. This lightning can strike three times. As Lombardi used to say, it's God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. Come on.
I hope it does. I wish the Packers no ill will. I'm a Packer fan. I'm just saying I would be surprised if we get that level of quarterback again.
I like to do a little victory lap, too. I've had some buddies that are not Packers fans that are like, oh, there's no way that the Packers are going to get a first-round pick out of this whole thing. Like, they've lost it the way that Mark Murphy was talking about things right. and everything. And I believe Rodgers will probably play 65% of the snaps next year for the Jets, and I think that the Packers are going to get a first-round pick out of this trade, too.
Was it Brian yesterday on Dueling Tangents who said that Rodgers is just, you know, smart enough and weird enough that he would, you know, calculate so it's like he'll play 64% for the snaps so the Packers don't get a first-round pick next year?
No, the news for Rodgers broke right when we got off Dueling Tangents, so it must have been a later. Somewhere. I was going to say, it had to have been a later program. But essentially, it gets back to the vanity of him not leaving the field last year, though.
Exactly.
There's no way that he's going to... Ultimately, if he's playing and he's winning, he's going to play more than 65% of the snaps. So it's very telling that, I think the Jets are going to have a hard time pulling him off the field if that's truly what the case is.
Here's what the Packers... According to ESPN, the Rodgers-Jets deal looks like this. The Packers receive pick number 13, a second-round pick, number 42, and a sixth-round pick, number 207, in this year's draft, plus a conditional 2024 second-round pick that becomes a first-round if Rodgers plays 65% of the plays this season. The Jets receive Aaron Rodgers, pick number 15 and a fifth round pick at number 170 this year. A personal executive, for a rival NFC team said the deal came out almost exactly as he thought. Quote, my guess was two this year, two next year, and then one to move on. It's probably a fair trade for both sides, but the Packers probably got the better deal.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I think the Jets were the ones that were in more of no man land. Yeah, the Packers would have had to make some very tough salary cut decisions.
$59 million would be if Jordan Love's backup.
Right. I don't know if the fans would be calling him Jordan Love's backup. I think Rodgers ultimately would still be pretty much the starter, but that would have been a training camp and first couple weeks of the season situation that the Packers didn't want to deal with. But I think the Jets were kind of, they were to put in some, I don't know, XFL league quarterback that would be available for them at that point.
Taylor McAvoy.
They went all in on trying to get Rodgers. And so at the end of the day, I think the situation led that they were going to be the ones to budge in the game of chicken. And I think it's not like either side got completely ripped off, but I think the Packers ultimately will be kind of on the better side of the trade, especially if Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps.
Who goes further in the NFL this year, makes the playoffs? Who goes for the Packers or the Jets?
That's tough. This is the other interesting aspect of where Rodgers was going to land. Mm-hmm. The fact that everybody was saying, oh, he might go to Las Vegas. And I was like, no way that he wants to go play in a division against Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Justin Herbert twice every single year.
Yeah.
And now he's still in a pretty tough division with Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. Is, regardless of who's under center there as quarterback, Bill Belichick is a formidable foe. I think Josh Allen is a top five quarterback.
Absolutely.
And Tua Tagovailoa is an incredible talent as well. And it will be interesting to see. They put a lot of pieces around him in Miami. If they can keep stringing games together, Rodgers is going to have a hard time going up against each of those three teams twice next year. And so I don't know. Jordan Love might be really good and the Packers might be able to pull this off. But my gut says... It's probably going to be Rodgers with the Jets.
Rodgers and the Jets will go further. I'm telling you right now.
Okay. All right.
We'll
I can take the wager.
We'll see come January, and I'll probably be absolutely wrong. But I don't think the Packers, I think maybe if Love turns out to be the real deal, maybe in a year or two the Packers are ultimately the better team than the Jets. I just don't think it's going to happen this year. But we'll see.
Yeah,
I hope, I'm all in on the Packers. I want them to do well. I'm cheering for Jordan Love.
Yeah, I'm cheering for Jordan Love. I carry the G. I'm a fan of the Packers first and foremost. I'm not. I love Devontae Adams. I still think he's terrific as the Raider. But I'm not going to have that fan base towards Rodgers now that he's gone.
No. Quickly before the break here, we went down last week to the Brewers game. We thank you for coordinating all that. And it was just supposed to be me and Kreitlow and Mr. Zommers and our news director, Terry Bell. And then at the last minute, somebody said they didn't claim their ticket. Let me just stop and tell you for a second. If you win these tickets, you're a nut job if you don't claim the tickets.
Claim them.
Because they're not just your average run-of-the-mill seats. These are in the club level. You understand? Yeah. You go in the private door, the same doors where you go into the executive suites, the skyboxes. Only the seats are just below the skyboxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can still cushy. Catch the foul ball. It's very nice.
They're cushy seats. You have your own private kind of vendors for concessions. And the nice thing is, between the 7th and 8th inning, you get a free foot rub. So I enjoyed that.
Who rubbed your feet, Todd?
I must have been in the bathroom.
Back with more Luke Mathers after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 10:50 of the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock. We encourage you to stay tuned for our friend, our colleague, Kristen Bry, along with Jay Matinier and As Goes Wisconsin. Coming up the first hour, they'll be talking more about the Trump decision and the Biden decision and who you'd rather have. So interesting calls calling on As Goes Wisconsin coming up at the top of the hour. And then at 2 o'clock on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, it is the Chad Holmes Show. He was on Pat Kreitlow's Up North News this morning. And I believe he said he has the mayor of the Wausau mayor on today, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I think that was true. But regardless.
No, I think she was on yesterday.
Oh, that's it.
She was on recently, I believe.
I'm half of the bag.
It's okay.
So don't. Basically, we're just trying to get to 11 o'clock. That's really what we're trying to do.
Todd's like, I'm running on empty. Just let me get through this final segment. Come on.
Thank God Luke is here. But anyway, it's a great show regardless on the Chad Holmes Show at 2 o'clock on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. For the rest of the network, it is our guest this half hour, our colleague and friend Luke Mathers and Brian Kelly with As Goes, Dueling Tangents at 2 o'clock. What the heck is the matter with me today? Dueling Tangents
from Tuesday. We're on some tangents.
To 2 to 3. And then at 3 o'clock, Matt Flynn direct. At 4, it is the Devil's Advocates with Crudy and Dom, although Crudy is on a bender, so he'll be joining. No, I'm not really. He's on vacation. And so Dom's in with somebody today.
I believe James Santel, host of Morning Cannolis on Morning Saturdays.
What a great name for a show. Morning Cannolis.
Jim travels with cannolis. When he comes
he
and
really?
Visits here in Madison, he brings cannolis. And so I thought it was one of the most fitting names. Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. And I believe Santel will be filling in with Dom this Tuesday afternoon on the Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6.
That's great.
And Mayor Katie Rosenberg did join Chad yesterday. But if you missed it, you can check out the podcast going to civicmedia.us. Click on the Chad Holmes Show, and you can check out the podcast of Mayor Rosenberg joining Chad Holmes yesterday afternoon.
See, our director of operations knows that at Civic Media.
It's okay. I tend to scroll past things and somehow retain them. And I was like, I think it was yesterday. But that's okay.
I'm glad to know that.
Yeah.
But regardless, a great lineup throughout the entire day here on Civic Media, not the least of which is at 2 o'clock with Dueling Tangents. So I want to get to a couple of the newsy stories of the day. First of all, Joe Biden is in. He has announced he is running. Surprise, not surprise, feelings.
Not surprised. This was kind of something that was teased for a while now. Mm-hmm. That I believe it's almost like to the day, the 4-year anniversary of him announcing his run for president for the 2020 cycle. Pretty just like clockwork, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess. 4 years later. Yeah. Not that shocked. I think that although there is a question about age, which I think is not just exclusive to Biden. It's exclusive to a lot of candidates that are at the presumptive or front runner status. And so, yes, the age is a question. That will be something that we'll talk about between now and next November. But he ran in 2020 on saying that he could bring the sides together and have bipartisan compromises, and that there were Republicans in Washington, D.C. that he could work with and they could govern.
Right.
And he, a lot of people were skeptical to that message in 2020, I being one of them. I was like, what are you talking about? Have you seen what's been going on lately? And Biden proved me and a lot of others wrong throughout this first 2 years of his first term, that he got a ton of bipartisan compromise. And he could have rammed through only the things with it was a trifecta. Mm-hmm. Democrats had control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. Mm-hmm. And he could have ran through just the Democratic proposals, but that's not what Biden did. He tried to find common ground and get as much done in those 2 years as he possibly could, and I think he's still trying right now to get as much done as he can with the way the table's currently set. But I mean, he's proven that the strategy that he ran on in 2020 of finding compromise and governing worked, and I think he's earned a second shot. So,
did you see the video they put out this morning?
I did not watch the full video yet.
We were talking. We played it earlier, and it's about 3 minutes. We played it. Aaron and I kind of described some of the things that were, you know, going on in the background. It's fine, as Mr. Zahmer said. It's very well produced. I just would have rather had him in the same time on the same day go and be alive and in person, because I think that's when he's at his best.
Yeah.
When he's with people.
Yeah, I think a town hall style is Joe Biden at the best, and I think that would have been a good pairing of it.
Yes,
exactly. A pairing is what I was going to say. Is that I think this video would go great with an additional town hall style speech, because this one, it gets the good media things. It's exactly what you want to see. You know, people smiling, shaking hands, him out in the public talking to people, showing his opponents looking bad, but not making them look bad. Like, it's just like Marjorie Taylor Greene wearing the Cruella de Vil outfit. Like, she made herself look bad.
If I would have been producing, I would have done the video. Exactly. I would have had the video on a big video screen, and then the video screen goes up, and here comes Joe up from behind it and gives a great speech after he revs up the crowd.
Yeah, and I think that could have, I think that this is kind of a soft launch. This and the way that politics works right now, obviously, there's going to be a lot of money spent in the 2024 cycle, and this video is essentially launching off the campaign for him to be able to start building the campaign infrastructure. Mm. And so I have a feeling there will be some of those things, but it's also, I think, very difficult to run for president when you are the president.
Oh, yeah,
like, sure. It's a very difficult thing to do. And so that will be a balancing act throughout the next 18 months or whatever the total is between now and next November. And it will be interesting. Did you see the video by chance that the RNC put out they used AI to generate a Beat Biden video.
Oh,
and
God.
So all of the imaging in it, it's all hypothetical. They essentially like put if Joe Biden, like, it's very interesting because in 2020, they said this would be what happens in Joe Biden's America. And they were taking footage of Donald Trump's America. They took footage of protests and all of the things that Republicans were trying to say, oh, the Democrat control is bad. And really it was during Donald Trump's America that they took all that footage. And so now they used AI to generate, and it's a very interesting thing. I think you and Trygve Olsen should check it out before tomorrow, and you guys should have a little chat about it. Because
I'll force myself.
It's like this scary hypothetical what-if world, rather. None of their arguments anymore are grounded in reality.
No.
And so this use of AI to have a response video to Biden's launch is just very comical in where we are right now.
But isn't that telling, Luke?
Yes.
I mean,
it's extremely telling.
The Republican agenda is so poor, they have nobody on the bench. They have to create something from AI.
It's imaginary.
I'm not the first one to say it. Give me your opinion. Tucker Carlson, does he run in 2024? Is he a candidate? I said it earlier.
I don't think he runs. Don't think so. I don't know what's next. I think it's Alex Jones platform.
I heard that he and Ben Shapiro at the Daily Wire are working on a $200 million deal.
That absolutely is where I see him landing.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Luke Mathers, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here. Thanks for making the show better today. You always make us feel better when you're in the room and on the air. You can join Luke and Brian Kelly this afternoon on Dueling Tangents at 2 o'clock.
And Dan Schaefer.
And Dan Schaefer as well. Yeah. A little recombobulation. Yes. Fantastic. At 2 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network, except in Wausau, where it's the Chad Holmes Show. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Mr. Aaron Zahmer. Stay tuned. Kristen and Jade are next on As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Todd Allball Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, keep banging your drum.